So I have an amazing story to tell you guys, that yesterday was life-changing. I literally felt as if revival was happening inside of me. And I've been praying this for a very long time, that God bring revival in Windhoek. And then I met an awesome man that was in our church, Marius, and we had a coffee at Mug and Bean. And he actually answered my question. And it's so awesome how we often ask questions for God, but we never listen for the answer. And then he has to send someone across your road so that you can know what he actually wants you to hear. And he tells me, Johnny, you can pray for 365 days a year for revival in Windhoek, but if you don't go out, nothing will happen. That city will still go to hell. Reinhard Bonke said that. And we can pray and we can pray and we can pray and we continue praying. We can holy huddle as much as we want. If we don't go out, if we don't become the light that Jesus has called us to be, then his kingdom won't come. Actually, it's already here. It's just not lacking in tune with the Spirit. But we will be. Yesterday, he invited us. Marius is sitting over there. He started an amazing ministry. God gave him a word that he has to build a cross. And then he's going to carry the cross in Katatura and Independence Avenue. And everyone that approaches him, or everyone that he approaches, doesn't matter, God doesn't work in a formula, that he would pray for them, share the gospel, they would become saved, either saved or healed, one of the two. And my life radically changed yesterday. Because I was like, God, I don't know, do you have to tell me in the spirit that I need to go out, or do I just follow scripture? And it's a kind of a deception that I was in, and I was just saying, okay, Lord, if you bring this across my road, I'm going to do this. I need something to challenge me. So he started with something different. You know when you stop at a red robot, there's people next to you, and they quite stop for a long time, and then some people would look at you, and you'd be like, awkward, that, okay, why is this guy looking at me? Or you'd be like, hey, no, hi, it's cool, okay. And then that person has an awesome day. And God started to challenge me on making boards, like, hi there, how's your day? Like, I can keep it up, and then, yes, it was challenging. I was just like, I'm not going to do this. Then the board would lay like next to me. It's something so simple. I'm not even sharing the gospel yet. I'm just saying, hi there, how's your day? And then I would stop at a robot. I would be frightened for a robot to be red. I'd be like, green, 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 green. Yes, okay, there we go. Okay, green. And then the robot started to become red. And then I was like challenged. Then I placed people in categories, like all the white people. No, I can't show them that. The taxis, that's more my kind of guy. I can show them that. Oh, and woman is fine. That's okay. Okay, okay. Yes, and just how fear of man creeps in. And I just started to show these things. And people's lives started to light up. But the other thing is, at the back of that page is the gospel. No, I just have to turn it. And then it's the gospel. But I was just like so afraid. And then if I raised up the first one, then God just supernaturally empowers me to turn it around. And people would read me. You can see some are touched. Obviously, some are not touched, but it's okay, because I know people will think about that. It's just God's love. Do you know God loved you so much that Jesus died for you on the cross, and that he raised his son from the dead, and that you can also find it? That's just a small little bit of gospel. And then I'm like, okay, God, you're teaching me how to break fear of man, but I don't know why. And then Marius comes along, and he's like, no, he's carrying a cross. And I'm like, yes, that's very challenging, but okay. Okay, let's do this. I wanted to do it alone, but then me and Henning had a discussion about independence and how that is such a thing in our culture and in Windhoek as well. We want to do stuff alone. We want to do it independently, and we don't want to invite people. And then I'm like, okay, JP, come with me. And JP is just like, yes, yes, yes. Now, I don't want to invite too many people, because obviously I'm just like, what if this is like weird or I don't know what. And I go with Marius, and we just pray beforehand. And what amazing is this, it doesn't even feel as if there's a spiritual stronghold in Katatura, because our discussion with him, it's been prayed so thoroughly through. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. My life radically, radically, radically changed yesterday. I can't believe I was so deceived to think that I can just sit and be comfortable being a Christian, just normal, living my life. Okay, I'm going to heaven. That's okay. That's awesome. Yes, there's so much more. There's so much more. And when you see the supernatural ability of God, that changes you completely. I always had a little bit of doubt about healing, but after yesterday, I can't have any doubt about healing. We walked through Pick and Pay. We walked around Pick and Pay, and All that we do is we go with the cross and what we feel God lays on our heart. We go to people, just say hi, just love them, and then we start to share the gospel. It's in the simplicity of the gospel that Paul says when people come to salvation. And I met this awesome lady. This really, really beautiful woman. And she just asked me, what are you guys doing here? And I saw scripture come alive. You know, I preached on this about 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. And this blew my mind. I'm just quickly going to read it again. It's in John 4, where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. And we know the story that he gives her a word. It's from God. He says, yes, you don't have just one husband. There are many. And then she's like, whoa, this man who told me everything about my life. That's all that Jesus told him, that he has living water. And then her life changes radically. Verse 27. And at this point, his disciples came out. I don't think it will be up there. And they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, who do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water pot. She came for water. Originally, she left the water pot. And went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. And that's all that that man told her, and her life was radically changed. And she went back to that place of pain where she sinned, and she went and declared her testimony. And yesterday I met such a woman that God just gave me a word, and I spoke it to her, I just asked her a question, and God changed her life radically in front of my eyes, and I knew that is what I was desiring. That's what my hunger, my spirit needed. I needed to see someone come to salvation again because I haven't seen it for a long time. And yes, I think I want to say that changed me more than it changed her. But I know it changed her more because I could see life. And it's actually amazing that she said an hour ago she was actually going for freedom. And the person didn't arrive. And she went past this cross and she just asked this question. And what we did next is was awesome. And then she just started to share her heart. Yes, and I started to feel her burden. And I almost started to cry, but then I'm like, I'm a man. Okay, I have to be strong. And I just felt the Lord say to me, she's going to wear a dress to church. And she told me that yesterday she got a dress as a gift. And she's actually here going to buy on a garment. And I'm like, yes, Jesus, this is the opportunity for me to love. To love her, and we went shopping, and we went to buy undergarments, and we went to buy shoes, and it's really cheap in Katatura. I didn't really know that. I didn't think it would be that cheap, but it was really. I was like, okay, we're gonna spend $300, and then no, it was actually not that much, and I could see how her life changed. Yes, and I was radically changed, and this is what I mean. Scripture happens is that I got a word. And her life changes. And I tell her, it's not about the prayer, it's about the decision. About that decision, about that surrender. And I can see she's doing that. I can see she's surrendering. And it's so awesome. And how vulnerable she is before God. And how he speaks to her. And it was so exciting to see. And I think that's what we need. We need to see that. We need to see people come to salvation. We need to invite people to church. And to trust in the gospel. We've internalized church. This for the first time I go now out. This is my first outreach like in my own local community. I'm not talking about missions because missions, everyone is hyped up and going and awesome stuff happen. But we can do it here as well. I've seen it. And then she goes and she tells me, I'm going to my sister and I'm going to tell her what's happening. I know she won't believe me, but I'm going to tell it to her. And just like, that's life. That's freedom. And she actually goes away and she drags another person. She actually drags another person, like the Samaritan woman, that goes in and actually brings more people. And she brings this person, like, this person has been watching the cross for 30 minutes. Meet John. She calls me John. And then I'm like, okay, what now? Okay, Jesus, you need to do something. And I just ask him, does he have pain in his body? And he says, no, he's right knee. He's right knee sore. And I tell him, do something that you can't usually do. and he does something, and you can see there's pain. We just lay hands on him, pray for him. And this I've never seen before. The person's expression on his face. And he wiggles his, and he's like, what? 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 And he starts wiggling his leg like that crazy. And I'm just like, what? 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 No, it was insane. And then I only saw these two miracles because I was so consumed. Miracles are awesome. But when a person comes to salvation, it's just different. It's just different. I saw the other miracle was also very awesome. It was at a barber. Like, they have these small barber. I was never in Catatura. Like, yes, I'm so removed from this world and from the pain, actually. It is so awesome to go. We went to the heart of it. I think me and JP and Marius and his wife was the only white people there. Like, oh, and Kyle. Kyle was also there. And it was just, like, so challenging. It was so out of my comfort zone. It was so out of everything that I'm used to. I want 50 words to go. But I have this piece that I need to go because it's in Scripture. Go and make disciples of all nations. And we come to this barber shop. And this woman says she has a lump in her breast. And I'm like, that's actually breast cancer. It sounds like breast cancer. And he just says, healing is instant. In the name of Jesus, that's Marius praying. In the name of Jesus, we just command this sickness to go. And this was awkward because she started feeling her up. She's like, she can't find the lump. And she tries to feel it. And she just can't find the lump. And I just saw how people are radically, radically changed. And next Saturday, this is happening again. And I want us to go. I want us to go. I really want us to go because you don't know what that did to me. Afterwards, the devil did come at me. I got an allergic reaction to some of the Mopani worms. That's what they call it. Because I was just fellowshipping with someone and I ate Mopani worms. And then I started to swell up and my chest started to, and I'm just like, this is not going to happen. And I started to rejoice in God and I started to see a glimpse, a very small glimpse of what Job had to go through, that during the tough times, even though it's hard, even though it's very, very, very difficult, you still praise God. And then my mother gave me Celestamine, which expired in 2008, so that didn't help. Then I went and then I showered and I got out, but I'm still swollen, and I just feel the Holy Spirit tells me I should go worship, and I go home and I go worship, and the sickness just leaves. And my nose was so clogged up. Ask my mother. She was just like, after 4 hours, you drink another pulse, but this one hasn't expired yet. And she gives it to me. And it was so awesome, actually. And I just felt how that sickness leaves. And then, I've never experienced this in my life, the glory of God in my room, just for a split second, just for, I think, a micro dot of what happened in Solomon's temple, where the priests couldn't minister. And I was so overwhelmed. I'm actually breathing heavily. And I just ate an hour ago at my mother's house, and I'm hungry, I'm thirsty again, and I'm just like, yes, Lord, this must be revival in me, and I want that for everyone. I want that for everyone. I want people to feel that. And the other thing that was so significant about yesterday, Kyle walks with us, and he has so many questions. We often get so removed that the people next to us need salvation as much as the person out there. And he starts asking these questions because I just felt the Holy Spirit told me to talk to another person. And that person, what he's going through, is actually what Carl's also going through. And I didn't know this. And he starts asking me the same questions. And I'm like, and it comes out that he loves someone more than he loves God. And that he's willing to leave Christianity for. But he cannot understand why the power of God does not manifest in his life. And I'm telling you guys now that we are preaching, sometimes we preach a watered-down gospel, especially our charismatic churches. It's when you surrender completely to God, when you love God above wife, above children, above anything. If that's that surrender, we just give over. He has the space to move, and then he moves supernaturally. You get redemption of so many stuff and healing. Because people get offended when a watered-down gospel gets shared. Because they now think they're saved, and they're following Jesus, but then something happens, and they didn't actually make that heart's decision. They just prayed a prayer. We need to watch out for that. We need to tell people it's a heart's decision. It's something you wrestle with God with. Fight with Him for it. I came to salvation in my room And the Holy Spirit came into my room when I watched Faith Like Potatoes. And I said, the God that he's serving is not the God that I'm serving. And I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I was homosexual. I had depression. I used steroids. I used drugs. I smoked. I drank. I did everything. I was broken inside. Not once did God say, Johnny, stop doing that. I condemn you for this. He just said to me, we're going to go that direction. And the rest just started to fall off. And I just started to go to every other spiritual thing that I could because I wanted more of Jesus. And then these things just fall away. And often, it's like Carl preached, the Pharisee creeps in. The leaven of the Pharisee creeps in. It kills the joy of your salvation. It just kills it. And then something like this happens. You see someone's life radically changes and it changes your life. You need to go out there. We really need to have a heart outward focused. God's not going to populate the church if he knows that we're supposed to go out there and give the gospel. I pray that he'll keep the church as small as it is until every one of us can go out boldly and go and spread the gospel. You know what was so awesome? She came to church today. That's awesome. I always invited people, but I never shared the gospel. I took a card as the gospel, and I'd be like, come to church. And I've learned how to share the gospel and then invite the person to church. That's different. It's very challenging. It's very, very challenging. But you first step out, and you go and you do it, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words, and he will give you the strength. I don't even know if I have to go on with my sermon. I got changed. And I was just like, when we see Jesus, when God reveals to us Jesus, we radically change. When we see a new part of his life, we can never arrive. Yesterday I felt like that a bit. Ooh, I've arrived. Someone got healed. Someone got saved. And then I was like, Lord, I have no idea what I'm saying. If your glory were to manifest, I would have died. Because I don't know what it means to serve you fully. Not yet. We'll know in part and then we will know in full. My sermon is Citizens of Heaven. And when we were in intercession, I just felt that God laid on my heart the Lord's Prayer. And it actually came out, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm going to, just what God shared with me in the scripture. I'm first going to read it, and then we're going to stop at each part, and then I'm just going to share my heart on it. What Jesus showed me. Yes, I must first say this. Henning, such a legend. Because I was like, when was it? When did you guys have cell? On Monday. Was it on Monday, Henning? Wednesday. I went to him while they had cell, and I was just like, God is not speaking to me. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to preach on Sunday. And just 3 weeks ago, I was like, Yakumin, if God were to put me in this position that I had to trust him until I get revelation, then I'll have to do it, even if I have to stand here and only then get revelation. Yes, I heard it when God keeps you accountable to your word. And then on Saturday, he just opened it up, and it was so, 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 so blessed. And I just believe that he wants to share part of his heart this morning. Okay, Matthew 6, verse 9. 2:13. Okay. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Me and Yakumin were at it depicts Jesus' death in a Catholic church. Yes, religion is hectic. It just kills people. But they also said the Lord's Prayer. And how it was just religion. But how when God speaks it, it just becomes alive. I want us quickly to stop at your kingdom come. your kingdom come. When I'm speaking about this, because I've seen God's kingdom come yesterday, and it was so inspiring and so awesome. When one kingdom comes, another has to give way. So when our kingdom comes, the devil's kingdom has to go. God says that we are the bearers of light. We shouldn't be hidden. So when we portray that light, when we shine out light, darkness has to flee. Darkness is actually only the absence of light. So if there's something that's wrong in a broken situation, God will take us and He will baptize us with His heart. And then we need to shine that. We need to shine that part of God's heart. John also writes about this, where he says that we can't have fellowship with the darkness when we walk with light. Just quickly want to explain a concept. Matthew 5 verse 14 says that you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then in 1 John 1 verse 5 it says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So when we walk as Christians, we are mini Christs. And we portray that light. And the kingdom of darkness has to flee. But if we're not portraying that light, we are hidden. We are hidden in a bucket. And we're not going to have condemnation today. We're going to have a focus to go out. We're going to have an inspiration today. And there's not going to be like, oh, I haven't been doing this. I haven't also been doing this. I've done this stuff for the first time Saturday, and it was awesome. And we're going to do this next Saturday as well. Ephesians 2, verse 6, I'm going to read a lot of scripture because I want to explain something, that we sit actually in heavenly places, in Christ, and we have that authority. Ephesians 2, verse 6, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we literally sit in a heavenly place in Christ Jesus, and we sit with that same authority. Philippians 3 verse 20. I think I have the Amplified as well as the New King James Version. Now listen to this. But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await Jesus Christ as Savior. And New King James Version says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your kingdom come. We are not from this world. We have a citizenship in heaven. And when you look at the word citizenship, we're going to look at it now. It's actually amazing. We've been ordained with certain rights, certain responsibilities. And when we are on earth, and the kingdom of darkness is here, and we are citizens of heaven, and we sit in Christ, and He's on the right-hand side of God, and we walk with that same authority. We go to the word citizenship. It says, the status of a citizen with its attendant duties, rights, and privileges. So in Scripture says we are citizens of heaven. We have that duties, rights, and privileges. And a citizen is a person owing loyalty to and entitled by birth or naturalization to the protection of a state or nation. Now that birth, that's a spiritual birth. When we become spiritually reborn, we enter into that place where we have citizenship in heaven. And we are supposed to bring heaven on earth. I'm going to pull this together at the end as well. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. Says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. Do we have it then? So we are Christ's ambassadors. Yeah? Just go on back. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God making His appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor and be reconciled to God. As you can see, so we are Christ's ambassadors. Let's look at the word ambassador. We can have the next slide. a diplomatic official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as representative in residence. Thank you so much. A diplomatic official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as representative in residence by one government or sovereign to another, usually for a specific length of time. An authorized messenger or representative. That's what we are. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are citizens of heaven. That does not mean we remove ourselves from the world and holy huddle. I've seen so many times when I'll be at a party or at a place that I would associate with the Christians. And that is actually a setting where, and I'm not talking about sharing the gospel, I'm not talking about speaking about God, I'm talking about loving people and building relationship without them feeling condemned in a situation, and then continue that relationship until you have a door to share your testimony, which carries the presence of God or the gospel, and then you can lead them to salvation. Very scary question. How many people have you led to salvation in your life? I don't even know. I'm not talking about altar calls, excluding that. Just to sit with someone and share the gospel. It's hectically challenging. It's hectically challenging. And we miss it. I've missed it. There was a client. I shared my testimony, started to weep. What do? I just get up and go. I don't share the gospel. I don't lead them to salvation. She asks me, Johnny, how did this happen? I'm like, no, I don't even know what I said. I didn't lead it to salvation. And that was the right moment. And I was like, afterwards, I just felt so chuffed with myself because I shared my testimony today and I trusted God for my testimony. And I was so shocked afterwards to see that, what? I didn't even, that was a perfect opportunity. That was a specific opportunity. So, yes, we miss it. But I want our hearts to be outward focused. I want our hearts to be ready and prepared to go and share our testimonies. And it doesn't happen overnight. We get equipping, and we're going to have equipping nights. And we are going to go out. And the best way to practice, even if you don't know anything, my first mission I went on after I was 4 months saved, I didn't know nothing about Scripture. All I knew is Jesus saves, and He loves me. That's all I did, and that's all they told me. You're going to make an altar call, and that's all that you're going to say. Then I was like paging through Scripture and trying to this and that, and I didn't know anything. And I learned there a lot. When they did SOS training, I was the one scribbling down every single thing that they're saying. And they're like, Johnny, what are you doing? I was like, I'm 4 months saved. Come on. I need to know this. I need the spiritual food. So it doesn't matter if you know a lot. Moses gave every other reason not to lead the Israelites out. And we're going to look at that as well. Every other reason not to do what God called him for. And he said, yes, Lord, here I am. And God still used him. So it's not about our ability. It's about boasting in our weakness. That's very important. I've been sensing in church that we often have a pretense that we run before people. And we don't have an honest and open heart. And people can only relate with an honest and open heart. And we need to break that pretense. That false perception that we give for that we are perfect. We are not. We boast in our weakness, and the Holy Spirit makes up that portion where we lack. It's so funny. When I speak English to my clients, it sounds horrible. But when I'm here, it sounds okay. I'm just like, when I hear myself, I'm like, oh, this is okay. And it's not that bad. And then I know it's not me. Then I know it's the Holy Spirit. Because I would be easing R-ing at the wrong place. But yeah, anyway, I just wrote down here, as citizens and ambassadors, we have been called to bring heaven on earth through obedience and submission to the Holy Spirit and God's Word. I was very deceived for a very long time that I think thought that I only needed to be obedient and submissive to the Holy Spirit, not so much to the Word. Because when God said, go and make disciples, I would say, Lord, I want a word from you. And it's already here. It's already in Scripture. It's like baptism. God won't give you a million signs that you need to baptize to be baptized. It's already in His Word. And we don't have to ask. Yeah. Anyway. Jesus' first sermon was Matthew 4, verse 70. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's when He started preaching. Let your kingdom come And in his first sermon was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Aren't we his hands and feet? Isn't the kingdom of God then in our hands? Isn't it entrusted to us then? Matthew 6 verse 33. This is the most challenging scripture ever. First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added. So we actually should seek for that. Seek for his kingdom. Go out, seek for it. Let's move on to the I've written a lot of stuff there that I just said now. Oops. Okay, your will be done. If we can just skip a few. Okay. So, let your kingdom come. Obviously, we are citizens of heaven. We are ambassadors of Christ. We need to be that representation. We're going to come to what that means and the keys that God gives us for it. For your will be done. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15. And he died for all, that those who lived should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Philippians 1 verse 21. I love that scripture. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Those are hard scriptures, but it says actually, not my will, your will, Lord. I'm surrendering this life. I'm giving up my will. I want to do yours. Your will be done. Not our will. Now, there's many parts of God's will. I'm not going to touch in everything. I don't even know half of it. But I am going to touch on salvation. That is God's, I believe, main purpose, is to restore relationship with him. I often was under the deception that I will only have eternal life when I die. And that's all. That's the only reason that I need to make this decision to follow Jesus. But when I came to salvation, I started to understand that I can have a relationship now, and that's what God wants. And he wants to speak into your situations that are difficult and it's burdensome. And we can only do that through relationship. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, it won't be up there. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's his desire. That's his heart. That's his will. We don't have to wonder about it. Your will for your life, that specific will, that he will speak to you about. But his will, not your will, but ours, but his will. His will is for people to be saved. And then on earth as it is in heaven, this is the most exciting part. I think there's a lot of stuff that happens in heaven. But I believe that there are two things that are really awesome and powerful when heaven invades earth that I can read from scripture, that I know from scripture, and that is worship and salvation. That we know that this is when heaven comes on earth. Okay, if we can go on. On earth as it is in heaven, worship. Psalm 22 verse 3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. So when we worship, heaven comes on earth. Because he becomes enthroned in our praises. Some translation says, enthroned in the presence of his people, because Israel was his people. And then in 1 Kings 8 verse 11, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. They only came out of the holies. You have the most holies, and then the holies, and then you have the temple. And they came out of that place. And the glory of God filled them. And they couldn't minister. Like, they couldn't worship anymore. And I had this similar experience yesterday. And it was so awesome. It was really so awesome. And also salvation is the other thing. I just wanted to show worship because I feel like the devil challenges us and we challenge often ourselves with what we worship. You either worship yourself, something, the devil, earth, or God. And that's when heaven comes. And when people meet Jesus and they change in worship. Many times healing will happen in worship. Many times people will just radically change because of worship, words of worship that comes from God's heart. And then salvation. This is very awesome. I'm first going to read you something else in the beginning of Luke 15. I believe there's people here this morning that your testimony needs to be released. You know God has been putting that on your heart. Your testimony needs to be released, and we're going to pray for that. There's people here in bondage as well. shackles. We just got confirmation from intercession as well. You will be set free by that today, and we're going to trust God for that. But I want you to know that there's no condemnation. Just listen to this. This is Jesus' example. Then all it's Luke 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And I was just so amazed. Drew near to him. Why? Jesus just loved them. He just loved them. It was only the Pharisees that he rebuked because they were religious. But the other part, when heaven enters earth, when heaven comes on earth, is in Luke 15, verse 7. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And when the Jews repeated something twice, they really had an emphasis on it. And Jesus now speaks here again about the same thing, just right after it, when he as another parable. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That is heaven on earth. The angels even rejoice. Heaven stops, and they just rejoice over this one person. It's actually from that parable of the lost sheep. And then there's also that parable of the lost son that comes right after it. And I want some people just to hear that God will always invite you back. Same with the prodigal son. The prodigal son had a lot of stuff that he already thought out before and that he wants to say to his father. I want to repent before him. And then his father just embraces him and kisses him on the neck. And then he repents. God embraces that. He wants you to come to him. But that prodigal son drew near to him. And that is awesome. I just want someone to know this. That God accepts and he receives back. So we know that we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're citizens of God, citizens of heaven, ambassadors of Christ. Your will be done, not our will, but his. And his will is salvation. We can see that. That's his heart's desire. On earth as it is in heaven, how does God's kingdom come? When one kingdom gives way, when heaven comes. When we shine our light, salvation comes. Heaven intrudes earth, God's kingdom come. Just think about this dark place, and everyone just starts flickering on their lights. Darkness has to flee. And we've been given that authority, and I've seen this, and I've seen that, and I've experienced it yesterday, and it is so awesome. But when we share the gospel, we need to do this in love. It's so important. People are not projects. People are not projects. And that was one of my greatest flaws when I came to salvation. I had a perfect image for 8 months. I held it up in cell. And I targeted people that were unsaved and I wanted to get them saved. And none of them came to salvation. And I started building relationship and loving them. That changed their life. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And when we portray that goodness, when people come to repentance, there's obviously a place for the gospel where you share it. But then we just need to listen to the Holy Spirit when and where, not use that as an excuse. The keys of heaven. Often then we need some keys of heaven to unlock it on earth. Matthew 16. Now we've been preaching about this for a while now, Carl. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that rock speaks about the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we go out and we want God's kingdom to come, there's two things that God showed me about him, about his revelation. When we have a revelation of Jesus, we have a revelation of his love and of his obedience. And those things set free heaven on earth. Love is John. It's such a powerful commandment that he gives us. And we often don't, we won't meet the mark without the Holy Spirit. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. This week that was passed in my work, I had to carry the burden and the mistakes that people made, and I threw a massive tantrum with God because of it. He just showed me a glimpse. This is work. This is not even sin. He showed me a glimpse of what he had to carry for me. He wasn't even guilty of my sin. And those mistakes that were made in my work area, I wanted to kill a first year at that moment because of what they did. And I, because I was getting the correction and the grief for that. And the Holy Spirit just showed me that this is a small burden, Johnny. I carried so much more. And I'm like, okay, God, make me more Christ-like. Teach this to me. And this is that love. Love that I have loved you. I was very challenged once that I bought clothes at Fabiani. My beautiful fiance took me to Fabiani. And we bought clothes. And it's nice clothes. And I was just like, oh, I'm so proud of these clothes. And I come back and I bought too much. I bought twice of everything. And then the Holy Spirit asked me to sew them. I'm like, I haven't worn this ever in my life. Why now I need to sew? Then I started reasoning with God. And I'm like, Lord, I am going to give the person the money. I'll give them the money. And the Holy Spirit is not like, I don't want you to give them the money. I want you to give them the clothes. But I'm like, but this is mine. And the Holy Spirit started to show me only after I gave the clothes that you need to love like I loved you, but also as you love yourself. And I was like, okay, I love myself with this. Am I able to sow it? Yes, and there was such freedom. And we need to strive for that kind of love. And I actually want to challenge us. Don't give your old shoes and socks to Thew Ann. Ask her what the kids need, and then go buy them some shoes and go buy them some brand new socks. I think that's a greater blessing. And who's going to wear 10, 11? The kids won't be able to wear that. So I think we should change this, bring shoes and socks to Oscar, and then we go buy. Those that you wanted to buy for yourself, you go buy them, and then you go sew them, because that breaks stuff in our life, and that makes us more Christ-like. So the love of God. But about yesterday, God just showed me how to love. God just showed me how to love this lady that I met. And he just asked me, go with her, do shopping, love her from a place that you know, normally wouldn't do it. Take your time out. And it challenged me so much because I don't do that. it's something different. It's something other than my character. And I was so glad God challenged me in that. Because I believe he calls us to love people until it hurts. Even if you get offended with someone, you go and you sort it out and you love them through that. And that changes people. And then obedience. Go and make disciples. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Our obedience and love is keys of heaven. That just releases God's glory on earth. Because I remember that I had to share my testimony, which is a testimony you don't want to share in front of guys at the race. And it was very difficult and tough for me. I told God, God, I'll share this testimony because I know that there's one lie of the devil and he tells you it only happened with you and that's a lie. And I'll share this with people because I want people to know what I went through. Because I want to pray with people. And he said, and I said, everywhere except the race. Where do I go first? I go to the race. Yes, and I felt destroyed. And that obedience, I believe, one person got saved, that day. Just one person. It radically changed his life. And I was just like, God, I put my heart out there. And God just wanted to use me in his equation and remove me so that I don't fall in pride. Because that week, 8 people in the rest got saved. Supernaturally by God. Where a friend of mine, he smoked dacha, went into the spiritual realm. And he met a demon. The demon told him to kill his friends. He started killing his friends. Then he met Jesus in that same realm. He said, I'm a God of love. I don't want you to do this. And he got saved. He didn't pray a prayer, but he was just overpowered by Jesus. And he runs. And he's like, he's running. It's as if he wants to run through walls. That's how he explained it. And God orchestrated in such a powerful way that people were choosing their rooms in res. And he started preaching at them. And he's like, we are doing this wrong. And this is a jock guy playing for Marty's. Donnie's still here. And he's just such a zealous guy for God now. And he starts to share his testimony of what just happened. And the download of what he has been receiving from God. And he calls out people. And he's like, Eon, this is what God's telling you. This is what God's telling you. This is what God's telling you. And all of them came to salvation. And it's just so awesome. That obedience is definitely a key. And I've seen that in my life, but also love. I'm going to read you something that's not up there. It's in the New Spirit for Life Bible. And Paul and Timothy inspires me a lot. And when I read their books, I'm just like, yes, go Jesus. To Paul, Christ was more than an example. He was the apostle's very life. For Paul, Christ is the sum and substance of life. To preach Christ was his consuming passion. To know him was his highest aspiration. To suffer for him was a privilege. And I want us to have that heart. I want that heart. And then Paul writes to Timothy. And he just encourages Timothy to go on with this and just to fight the good fight. But then this Bible writes commentary about Timothy. The church needs more Timothys who are determined to guard the gospel as a sacred deposit committed to them, who are faithful to proclaim it, who are ready to suffer for it, and will pass it on to faithful followers. Yes, and that was just so awesome. My greatest desire one day is to be able to say what Paul said. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I so desire that. And one day when I stand in his throne room, I want him to tell me, Johnny, well done, you good and faithful servant. I know I'm going to miss it a lot still, and it's okay. But I so desire for him to tell me, Johnny, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to be very honest. I believe the churches in Windhoek, we are lukewarm. We don't know what it means to reach out. We have internalized the gospel instead of going. And we need to relearn that. We need to follow Jesus' example. We need to ask him to teach us. Because when you see Christians of the persecuted churches, they know what it means to follow Christ and to go out and to proclaim the gospel. We know CLS's million testimonies that he always brings back. And I believe that also radically changes him. And the salvation that he sees, that he also sees there. And I'm going to pray for us that we would live by faith, love as Jesus loved, and be obedient and submissive to the Holy Spirit. So that we can run this race. And we are going to run this race. We're not going to get discouraged. We're not going to throw a tantrum every time we fail. We're going to ask God. God put us in a position where I can be obedient again. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. That's what scripture says. Sometimes we need to suffer a bit just to learn that bit of obedience. It doesn't mean destruction of your life. We're just going to learn. We'd rather pray that Lord place me in the same position that I can learn how to be obedient. My question to God was, how do I change this world? And he just said, we need to surrender and become bond servants for him. We need to surrender and become bondservants for Him. Bondservant means that you willingly, after being set free, become a slave to your previous owner again. And Paul always writes about when some of his letters start, it's like, Paul, a bondservant of Christ. And the bondservant even went as far as climbing into the tomb with his master when his master died before him. That's how committed they were. And I pray for that heart. I pray that we would have that heart. But I must tell you, I am still very afraid of men. Man. Not men, but man. Of what they're going to say about me. Every time when the Holy Spirit asks me something, or every time something gets birthed in my spirit or in my heart, I fight. I don't want to do it. The Holy Spirit gives you boldness when you start to go out. Like after yesterday, He just expanded my faith and He expanded my boldness. And that is awesome. So we are to be ambassadors, and we're going to be ambassadors. Can you all quickly stand, please? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just share with us your heart. God, I pray for freedom in this place, Lord. Pray for people to be set free. Pray for people's hearts to be united with yours. And Lord, I repent for our complacency. God, I pray that you teach us how to surrender, because I know it's not something we can figure out. It's not something that we can get grips on. Lord, I pray that we would stand vulnerable before you, Lord, and that you empower us to love as you have loved, and to be obedient to the point of death, Lord. Father God, I pray that you make us that those kinds of light that sinners would draw near. They won't feel condemned. They will feel loved. And that our church will become a hospital for the broken and the sick, not a place for righteous people. Father God, I pray that we would boast in our weaknesses, that your power may rest upon us. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you change us. And you inspire us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you've done yesterday. That you brought someone to salvation, Father God. More than one person. I just saw one. Thank you that you healed people. Lord, to see you moving livingly in front of my eyes was so awesome and so amazing. I desire it for everyone. God, I pray that you give us the boldness. Lord, and I pray that you protect our hearts from condemnation, that we won't see or believe the lies of the devil. We will only hear your words, and that's encouragement. God, and I also repent if I inspired condemnation today. That wasn't my purpose, Lord. I just wanted to share your heart. If there's anyone here this morning that knows that they need to make that heart's decision, that complete surrender, and you know you still love something else more than God, it's not just a prayer that we're going to pray with you. We're going to sit with you, and we're going to love you, and we're going to share the gospel with you. If that's you this morning, I just quickly want you to raise your hand and say, this is me. I want to give my heart, my everything to God. Thank you for that hand. Or you've backslidden. Or you've taken a few steps back and you're just not there yet. Or you're just not there anymore. and you just want the Holy Spirit to rebirth inside of you a passion, I want you also to raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Lord, I bless your name because, Lord, I know heaven is standing still and they're worshiping at this moment. Father God, thank you, Father, that the kingdom of darkness will not prevail and the kingdom of light will prevail. Thank you for everyone that raised their hands. I want you to please quickly come forward. Stand on my right hand side. We're going to pray with you, but we're going to spend time with you. And I want you to walk out in boldness because it's a step of obedience in faith. Like I said, those keys, obedience and love. When we step out in obedience, then there's a person here, you might already stand here in front. There's a shackle in the left of your leg. It feels like it's pulling. It's shame from your past life. And God wants to break that. With every eye closed, I want everyone's eyes closed. I don't want people to be put to shame. If that's you and you need to be set free by something that is shameful in your life, I want you to quickly raise your hand, please. I just want to know where you are. Thank you for those hands. And then there are people here that God has told you, you're going to share your testimony in front of a lot of people, and you're just not sharing your testimony anymore, or you've not kind of had that opportunity. If that is you, I want you to respond as well. Just quickly want you to raise your hand. If you responded for the second set of altar calls, I just want you to stand here on my left hand side. We're also going to pray with you. Because Jesus sets free and he releases that testimony. I want to facilitate, I'm not going to pray a prayer of salvation. I want the facilitators with every person to pray that prayer and to make sure they understand that this is a heart's decision, because nothing in your life will change if you don't make that heart decision, that surrender. I call it surrender because many people will tell me, but I love God, I believe in the fact that Jesus died for me on the cross, but those are facts. Those are not complete surrender. Salvation is not one scripture in the Bible. It's a lot of them. In John 3 verse 3 says you need to be born again. Romans 10 says that we need to confess. The facilitators, please help with that. Whatever needs to be confessed, needs to be confessed. Repentance is only done before God, not before man, but we confess to bring stuff in the light so that it doesn't bind us anymore. If there's anyone with sickness or pain in their body and you need prayer for healing, please stand on the left-hand corner there over there, because we want to pray for healing. And we believe that Jesus heals. And if you have any other prayer request, or if anyone else has a word, that bring it to church, bring it here, bring it in front of you. Because I believe you, when we step out here today, we're going to be changed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you are doing, Lord. And that it's not the words of man that can change people. It is only what you speak into our spirits. And Lord, I pray that we would surrender that and we would open up our hearts. We would trust you, Lord, to speak into our lives. There's also condemnation, and I pray against that in the name of Jesus. If you have condemnation in your life, stuff that you did, I want you to pray with someone. If you responded to an altar call, you raised your hand, please come forward. I don't want you to miss out in heaven. And if you need prayer for anything else, please come forward. And if you feel that you're not being an ambassador and a citizen of heaven, and you want that boldness from the Holy Spirit, also come to the front.
Just on my heart as well, specifically what Johnny spoke about, is that we're basically like a castle. We've shut our doors to the living God, the living King. And He's just calling us to surrender again, that we must just open those doors. And He's at the door knocking. But He's knocking as the King of that castle. And He doesn't want to come in and throw you out. He wants to come empower you. He wants to give you the life that you were called to live. And just give you that amazing blessing that just that the, as the King of Glory enters in, that is an amazing place where you can just allow the King to take His rightful seat in your life. And that just builds you up. That just gives you so much more power, so much more life. And I just felt in my heart as well, for myself, that I just felt, God, I want more. So if you're this morning, it's not necessarily that you've backslidden. It's not that you've done wrong. It's maybe you are there, but you want more. I just want to invite you to the front as well. Because we become complacent with what we have and what we can do, but we need to want more. We need to ask God for more, not just a place where we can stand and say, God, we've arrived. But to say, God, where do you want us to go? Like we sang the song, send us, Lord. Where you lead, we will follow. And that's an amazing part of the King that we follow. The King that sends us out with His command, His word, His authority. Amen.